If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We go to Ukraine now, and Joseph Lindsley, we've been talking about and seeing what happened in Russia at that airport when the flight from Tel Aviv came in, and the airport was stormed by a mob. And Joseph, I was wondering about your take on that and what it says about the relationship that Russia has had, and it's been fairly constructive in the past with Israel. What do you make of all this?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kharkiv, 30 miles from Russia. And, you know, when we see those images, you know, since the very beginning of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and in the months and years leading up to it, Putin tried to craft this narrative that somehow the so-called regime in Kyiv was a Nazi regime. And this goes back to Russia's history, you know, World War II. You know, both the Nazis and the Soviet Russians fought over this territory. But so many in the West believed Putin's rhetoric on that. But if we, as Ukrainians know, as anyone who spent time in Ukraine knows, this is a very tolerant and pluralistic society. And when we see those images from Dagestan, which is a Russian republic on the Caspian Sea, it borders the nations of Georgia and Azerbaijan. And we see the absolute hatred for Jewish people within Russia. And we also see, you know, Russia still has been unwilling to outright condemn Hamas for their October 7th attack on Israel. It's not so hard to say those words. They've refused to do that. Russia has continued to cooperate with Hamas and Iran, meeting together in Iran to plot. And this is when I speak with many Israelis and Ukrainians, there's frustration with the Netanyahu government. You know, why does the government in Israel still hedge their bets with Russia when it's quite clear to really, I mean, all free people, all people fight, you know, in Ukraine and people fighting in Israel for their freedom, that Russia and Iran and Hamas are aligned with each other. When I interviewed the chief rabbi of Ukraine a couple months ago, he said, you know, he said that he was speaking to Israelis before Hamas's major attack, and he said, if you're not sure about Russia, just look at who their friends are. And it's quite obvious. And it's also important to note, you know, as I look at the news of these pro-Hamas rallies around the world, and everyone who supports, even people who support Gaza in some sense, and they kind of hedge their bets and say they don't support Hamas, they refuse to condemn Hamas for their actions on October 7th. And, you know, you see these people, you know, rallies around the world in favor of Hamas in almost every single country. You see anti-Semitic behavior in almost every single country. You do not see that anywhere in Ukraine. Nowhere. It's really remarkable. Ukraine, I mean, there's a great sense of solidarity here. And so here's another occasion to see that the propaganda from Moscow is exactly a lie. It's not even based in an iota of reality. And so many people have still believed this. You know, Tucker Carlson, my old colleague from my Fox News days, in his show on X or Twitter or whatever it is called, a couple of days ago, I think it was yesterday, he once again is reintroducing this Kremlin narrative that Christianity is oppressed in Ukraine. And this is because the government here has made moves to, after, you know, almost, you know, a year and a half of Russia's invasion, to curtail the spy operations of the Moscow Orthodox Church. And it's a very precise thing. It's something that the people here demand. And, you know, Ukrainians don't really, Ukrainians go to the Ukrainian Orthodox Church or the Greek Catholic Church, or they're Jewish or they're Muslim. This is not part of their tradition or culture. And when you see that, like for Tucker Carlson to claim, he said that what's happening in Ukraine is like an attack. He says it seems like an attack on Christianity. And it's, again, the complete opposite of the reality. Actually, Ukraine, especially Western Ukraine, where the Soviets were not able to destroy their traditions and their religion, it has to be the most actively Christian place in Europe. And to the degree that it's just a normal part of life. There's no protests and big arguments and rallies. People, you know, they go to church, they live the traditions and the rituals, and it's just woven into life in a way that has been lost in the West. And this is exactly what Russia is trying to erase. They're trying to erase a country with great Christian tradition and a country that is incredibly tolerant and pluralistic. And it's the same with Hamas in Israel, because Hamas, there is no tolerance. If you're Jewish, there's no, you know, they've said it very clearly. They don't want Jews to exist. And Israel welcomes all people of all different religions.
I'm looking at a text from a listener, and I've been thinking about this as well, so I want to read this. Always happy to hear Joseph in the morning, concerned that since the conflict in Israel, there seems to be almost no news coverage of Ukraine. And there in Ukraine, you have probably felt this too, right, Joe?
Exactly, and especially in this, you know, in this moment. I mean, we've had many air alarms here in Kharkiv, you know, the past night and day, but there still have been no major attacks. The last time there was a major attack in Kharkiv was October 6th, the day before Hamas attacked Israel. And it does seem that and this is a question we should at least be asking, why has Russia been so quiet since Hamas attacked Israel? Are they waiting, for the world to sort of forget about Ukraine? And so there's less pressure to send weapons here? Because in the month preceding Hamas's attack on Israel, just the weeks preceding, Ukraine, as I've mentioned before, did incredible damage to Russia's Black Sea Fleet headquarters, the actual headquarters, and to the fleet itself. And then when those attackums arrived from the United States, those long-range ballistic missiles, Ukrainians have been able to hit Russian targets they previously could not hit, the same targets from which Russia would launch missiles to Ukraine. So Ukraine seems to be in a quite strong and extraordinary position, and this is getting missed. In fact, you're starting to see headlines with the word ceasefire. I saw there's an op-ed in the South China Morning Post out of Hong Kong, which is a place, you know, all the press is controlled by the government, saying now is the time for ceasefire in Ukraine. And whenever we hear the word ceasefire, it's when the evil guys realize they need a break to resupply. It's the same when we hear, you know, no one was saying ceasefire on October 7th when Hamas attacked Israel. When Israelis in the Negev Desert were being slaughtered in their houses, no one was saying ceasefire. But now when Israel responds effectively, we hear the word ceasefire. And now as Ukraine has been able to significantly disable Russia's ability to attack from the Black Sea, we start to hear the word ceasefire. And so this is where, you know, those who, you know, if you step back and say, wait, you know, look at how the Russians are attacking the Jews and how, you know, in their own country and how they ally with Iran. Whose side are you on? If you're on the side of free people, you know, this is the moment to get Ukraine everything it needs to push back. And when I speak with Americans who, like, sort of freedom-loving, self-described freedom-loving Americans who genuinely love the idea of liberty, but they're skeptical of Ukraine, I say, you know, why are you skeptical? This is it's a tolerant country. It's a Christian country. It's a free country. Why are you not in favor of this? And the answer I get most often, including from very influential people, is that they're tired of, you know, the war, America's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and so they simply don't trust our government on anything that's involved in. But if you look a little bit deeper, you see that actually, you know, our own government in America is reluctant to get Ukraine what it needs to win.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, always appreciate your perspective, not only on what's happening where you are, but how the Israeli war on Hamas is affecting what's happening there in Ukraine. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow from Kharkiv.